All righty, how we doing? Awesome. Okay, well, hey, I am Austin Mankin, and this is my wife, Kirby Mankin.
Hey,
say
y'all.
Hello. How we doing?
My eye.
So we are going to talk about the topic of dating, heart eyes. And to kick us off, I just want to talk about, hey, in our culture, dating is a confusing topic. Dating is really confusing. And you'd think we'd be really good at it by now because there's so many dating apps, there's so many dating websites, eHarmony, Farmers Only, whatever you got out there. There's so much information and content about dating, movies, TV, magazine. And if you look at the statistics, you'll see that we're just getting worse. Like the divorce rates are only getting higher, and we're not good at it. We're really bad at it. And it's because our culture is confused on what dating should look like. And so we want to talk about how we can inform our decisions through the lens of God's word and how we can make something that's confusing in culture and make it really, really clear. Really clear. And so, Kirby, where are we going to go with this?
Yeah, so before we jump in, we're going to tell you a little bit about ourselves.
We're going to share our story, guys, our dating story.
So Austin and I became friends in the summer of 2017. Here is the very first picture we took together.
Yes.
At a little place called Kanakut Camps.
Oh, yeah. That's what we call a camp crush. She's obviously flirting with me, you can see. She's on the far left, and I'm on the far right.
So we were friends for a year, and we started dating in the beginning of 2018. And we have a picture of the very first picture we ever took dating.
Yes.
We moved a little closer together. But yeah. Enough room for Jesus if you look close.
Yes. There's empty space.
And then we got married at the end of 2018. So that's our wedding picture.
Oh, so
that's
happy.
That's one of our only wedding photos that, believe it or not, David Peniel is not in. He managed to finagle his way into way too many pictures.
Yes. Look at his Instagram. You'll see so many videos of that.
And then this last August, so just a little under 6 months ago, we welcomed our son, Harvey Shepherd, into the world.
Yeah.
There he is.
I told Kirby that he actually looks like a soggy chicken nugget in that photo, and I don't know why. It was so weird. But he's really cute now. But in that photo, you can't really tell. He's smiling.
I said, never tell another woman that their baby looks like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, like Austin said, we are going to talk about dating today, and specifically the 10 ways you can know if you're ready to date or not. So we know dating in high school, dating in middle school can kind of have a taboo around here. People say that there's a black and white answer, or you can never do it, or there's certain circumstances where you can. But we actually know that Scripture never addresses the topic of dating directly. But even though it never mentions, do I need to click something? Oh, we're good. I was getting a hand motion. Even though we know Scripture never addresses the topic directly, it absolutely informs how we date. And so we're going to jump right in with reason number one,
yes.
How you know if you're ready
to date. We're going to go fast, but we're going to walk through 10 reasons you know you are ready to date. So this is our stamp of approval that if you can pass these 10 things, you know you are ready to date. So we're going to move fast. And so this breakout is meant for you guys to take notes because we don't want you just to not write this down and then move on and not think about it. But this is going to be informed by God's word and will help you guys think about this confusing topic of dating. So I'm going to kick us off and we're kind of going to go back and forth. And then we're going to do a Q&A at the end. And so if you have questions, I want you guys to text in your questions. You can go to slido.com, and there's a code on the bottom of the screen. So write this down. Write this down in your booklet. And then type in the code W848. W848. And hopefully we'll get there. If not, we'd love to answer any questions, so stay behind.
Kevin, do you need to include the pound sign?
No, it's our just type
just
in W848. Awesome. Alrighty, so point number one, if you're taking notes, you know you're ready to date when you see dating as a process and not a status. You see dating as a process and not a status. So what I mean by that is that dating is intended to be a process of evaluation. It is intended to be a purpose-driven plan that you can understand and get to know someone and understand their character, their chemistry, their who they are. It's a process of evaluation where you're moving towards something. that it requires movement, that you're going towards a direction. And so it's a process of evaluation and not a status. And what I mean status is, man, so many times dating in our culture has become this thing where it's there to gain attention. And so a lot of you in the room are probably thinking, hey, if I post this picture with my hashtag relationship goals, I'm going to gain the attention of others or popularity or validation that I've never received. Man, that's not the intention of dating. The intention is that it would be a process of evaluation for you to understand, is this the type of person that I'm looking for? It's for you to understand and determine the second most important question that you have to answer. Do I want to spend the rest of my life with this person? And if you can understand that, then all these points will make sense. And so this comes directly from God's word. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down Genesis 2:24, which just says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And so if dating is done right, man, this is your bullseye. Like if you want to hit a target, you got to know the bullseye and you got to go for it. And so the process of evaluation is knowing your bullseye. This is your end goal. And so Kirby and I, we went to on a date the other day with a big group of people. And she comes back from being gone for a few minutes and comes back and walks really slowly up to the table. She has the palest look on her face that I have ever seen. It looked like she saw a ghost. And she, with her hands in her face, she literally just said, we were like, oh, what's wrong? She goes, guys, I literally walked into the men's restroom.
And I didn't just walk in. I used the men's
restroom. She used the men's restroom. And as she was walking out, there was a guy.
Washing
his hands. And did he say anything to you?
Yeah, he comforted me. He was like, it's okay.
It's okay. It was just a look of shame. But she walked back and she had this look of embarrassment and shame and regret. Like, what have I done? And can you still shake it? Like she'll still mention it, that it was so embarrassing. But the reason I tell you that is because I think that's why how we treat dating, that it becomes this thing that if we don't know the direction, that she went the wrong direction. And if we don't know the direction we're going, man, we'll end up ashamed, embarrassed, regretting decisions that we've made. It gets confusing. We have to know the direction that we're going, which leads me to point number two. Oh, excuse me. I want you to ask yourself this question. You don't have to write it down. You can if you want. We're going to have a question for you to reflect on at each point. But I just want you to write down this question. Do I understand the purpose of dating and the meaning of marriage? And if you don't, that's your first step. You need to understand what God's intention for dating, or specifically marriage, is, and that's Genesis 2:24. Awesome. Next point.
All right, so you know you're ready to date when you don't just do what God wants, but you desire what he wants. And so you know you're ready to date when your heart is content with the relationship you are already in, which is your relationship with Christ. The verse we kind of tacked onto this one is Psalm 16:11, which says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forever. And so we want you guys to think about, am I ready to date or not, by answering the question, am I content with the relationship I'm already in? The enemy is a master at repackaging the lie that something besides a relationship with Christ will satisfy you. So if you don't know what it's like to spend time in the Word and enjoy it, if you don't know what it's like to walk away from your quiet time and crave more of it, if you're not sitting in your seat longing to know more of God, if you're not longing for Christ more than you long for earthly companionship, then let me encourage you, you have so much more of our Savior to experience. Start there. If you are not content in the relationship you are already in, you're not ready to date. And this is a huge lie that was popped when Austin and I got married. A lot of people think that dating or marriage, the other person will finally make you happy, but the truth is that Austin does not make me happy. And he has actually...
Oh. Real?
You make me laugh. When you're being funny. Austin has never been more disappointing to me than when I have needed him to be something he was never meant to be. And so I'm going to say that again. Austin has never been more disappointing to me than when I have needed him to be something he was never meant to be, which means I was created for a relationship with God. Austin was created for a relationship with God before we were ever created for each other. Even in the garden, God created man. Man was with God first. God created woman. Woman was with God first before he ever brought her to Adam. And so you were created for a relationship with God. In his hand, there are pleasures forever. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Start there. Focus on building contentment in the relationship you're already in. The question we want you to ask yourself, am I experiencing contentment and joy in my relationship with the Lord, and do I want more of him?
Awesome. All right, here we go. Moving on. Number three, the third point, you know you're ready to date, is that you are walking free. You're walking in freedom from sin. And so we're all born with this desire to want to be married. That's a God-given desire, and that's okay. I mean, God's given us that desire. But we're not all born ready to be married. Like, in order for you to follow this purpose and this direction, that you have to start by leading yourself well. And that if you attempt to move toward a relationship when you're not healthy, when you're not well, when you have habits in your life that you haven't broken and brought before the Lord, then every relationship that you are in will be unhealthy. And so a lot of people start this dating process and they think, hey, dating is going to solve my problems, man. I got fear, I got worry, I got anxiety, and if I just slap a dating relationship on this, I'm good. And what Kirby just mentioned is that she makes a terrible savior to me. That she can't save me, she can't fix me, that she's not my solution to my problems. Man, God has given us the solution. That is through his son. And so if we look to someone besides Jesus for our joy and our source of life, man, it's going to fall short. And so 1 Peter 2:11 just says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." And so I want you guys to look at that verse and think about, hey, God is not trying to hurt me. God is not trying to limit me from joy or pleasure. God is not trying to keep me from something. What God is always trying to do is keep you for something, and that's for more joy in marriage. And our relationship is amazing. We're best friends, and it's amazing to spend time with her. And the reason it's so fun is because we didn't go into dating with sin that was entangling us, and I didn't use her as my savior. That she was someone that made me happy because, or made me more joy because we got to experience it in a healthy way. And so it was amazing to do that and spend time getting to pursue dating and towards marriage. And so I just want you guys to know that you'll never have more time than you do right now. You'll never have more time than you do right now. So it is important that you guys focus. Hey, am I running towards a relationship to fix my problems, or am I running towards Jesus? And so the question I want you to ask yourself is, are you experiencing freedom from sin? If there's something in your life that you haven't brought before the Lord, or there's something in your life that's an unhealthy habit, there is no better time than the time you have right now. You'll never have as much time as you do right now.
Something we've heard said is your relationship will only be as healthy as the least healthy person. And so if you're not in a healthy place, your relationship is never going to be healthier than you are. And so that's a great question to ask yourself. Are you experiencing freedom from sin? Yeah. The next one, you are ready to date if you will seek, receive, and apply godly counsel. So you know you are ready to date if you're willing and able to live in complete transparency and submission to the godly people in your life. This means that you're willing to talk to your parents, talk to your small group leaders, talk to your godly community and godly friends about the details of your relationship, the things he or she says to you that he only says to you. You're willing to talk about the things that you think about in the secret of your mind, the things that you dream about, the things that you desire. If you are not willing to share these things, then you are not ready to date. God always calls us to do things in community, in the context of other godly people. And so Proverbs 11:14 is a verse that says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." Another verse Proverbs mentions, Proverbs 18:1. "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." So if you are isolating in a relationship, if you're not sharing the ins and outs of your texting communication, of the way you spend time together, you are isolating yourself against all sound judgment. Proverbs also says that a man's way always seems right in his own eyes. And so you need to come into a relationship with the belief that I'm probably going to mislead myself, and I'm always going to think I'm right. So I need to involve and include godly people who are going to help me see the things that I might not want to see. So two other things. If you are not ready to hear the godly people in your life tell you that you're not ready to date, you're not ready to date. And if you are not willing to hear the godly people in your life tell you that he or she is not a good person for you to date, then you're not ready to date. So a question for you to ask yourself, are you living and willing to live in complete transparency with your community? Are you willing to listen to their counsel, obey their counsel, even and especially when it's counsel you don't like or disagree with? That was a long question. Did we get that?
That was a long question.
Basically, are you willing to live in community with your relationship?
Awesome. All right, we're keeping going. We're going to roll through this because we want to get to some questions. So make sure you guys are texting any questions that you have because we'd love to answer those. Number five is that you are willing to take purity too far. And this is really a play on words here because a question we get all the time and around the church culture is, hey, how far is too far in dating? And which is the wrong question you should be asking. Because that question implies that you're just saying, hey, what's the lowest level of commitment that I can get towards Jesus and still do what I want? And the question that you should be asking is, hey, how can I maintain purity? And that when you maintain purity, sometimes that's going to be unpopular. Sometimes you're going to be seen as the minority in situations. But you have to be okay with, hey, I'm going to lean on the side of purity and go that way instead of the other way around, which is destructive and scary. And so a same verse I shared earlier, 1 Peter 2:11, the beginning of that verse, I love how it addresses us as sojourners and exiles. That if you are a Christ follower, that you are following the Lord, that you're a part of the minority, that you're going to almost be seen as strange or a foreigner. And that we want you guys to understand that you need to be willing to rest in that and be okay with that. And that's what God's calling us to do. And so that's what we want you guys to understand, that you're willing to take purity too far. And so when I was in a freshman in college, I did not apply this principle, that I made mistakes that I was hurt by, and I didn't lead myself well because I stepped into a relationship when I wasn't ready. And so I didn't set up boundaries. And so here's what I was communicating, that I wanted God close enough to save me, but I wanted to keep him far enough away to let me do whatever I wanted. And that was scary. And so I didn't want to put up boundaries because I wanted to do whatever I want. And that cost me. It was painful. And it didn't just cost me. It cost the girl that I was leading. And it was costly. I want you to understand, like, hey, God intends for you to maintain your purity and also preserve the unity of the other person, that you could honor the Lord through that. And so Kirby and I made a commitment when we started dating that we did something really radical, that almost laughable in culture, is that I just said, hey, Kirby, I don't think it's wise if we kiss when we're dating. I don't think that's wise. I'm going to wait towards marriage because here's what sin does. Sin robs you of creativity. It makes you, it just makes you boring. And I knew that, man, we had so much fun in dating because we had to get creative. Because we did things, we went places, we went to restaurants, and we did so much fun things, and we didn't have to worry about the physical side of it. And so it made dating so much fun. And so I want you guys to hear that. It made dating so much fun. So a question I want you to ask yourself is, are you willing to choose what's right over what is easy? Because what is right is not always easy. What is right is not always easy. It's easy to be a part of the majority. But when you start applying God's word, man, just watch yourself because you're going to be a part of the minority. And people are almost going to say, hey, you're a sojourner. You're an exile. You're unpopular. What are you doing? And you need to be okay with that.
If someone calls you a sojourner.
Yeah.
That person,
I don't know what people are calling sojourners, but anyways.
An old soul. Okay. Number six, you know you're ready to date if you're willing to postpone dating in order to pursue friendships. So another way to say this is, you know you're ready to date when you don't have to date. The focus of an incredible relationship is built on the foundation of friendship. And so Austin and I have an incredibly fun marriage, like he said, because we're really good friends. We spent a year as friends. And obviously for y'all, that would probably be longer than a year because nobody can probably get married in high school unless your parents are into that. But yeah, we were great friends for a year before we ever took that next step. And the majority of your life, for most people, will be spent with a spouse and a family. And so enjoy the opportunity that God gives you now in your youth, in your singleness, to pursue wholehearted devotion to him and friendship with others. And so some of you in here are in the predicament of liking someone in your friend group, someone that you have every single class with, someone that you see every day, someone that you grew up with. So you might be asking, how do I do that? Practically, if I like someone, what do I do if I'm with them all the time? And so our encouragement to you is to trust your heart and your story to the Lord, and don't believe the lie that you have to act now and tie that person down and secure it by being exclusive in order for it to work out in the future. Trust your heart and your story to the Lord.
And something I would add on to that too is, hey, a lot of times people are like, hey, if I don't put a label on this, you know, this girl or boy is just going to leave and I'm never going to see them again. They're you know, the right person, and I need to date them right now. And that's what happens when you get to college, is that you leave and people try to do this long distance thing that never works. But if you build a friendship, like, friendships always stand the test of time. And so, man, you don't have to worry about trying to maintain this relationship that's going to get weird and then we're going to have to go our separate ways in college. If you build a friendship first, it'll be so much easier in the long term to then develop a healthy dating relationship later. So
yeah, something we say is the right person at the wrong time is the wrong person. Scripture actually calls us in 1 Timothy 5:1-2 to treat brothers and sisters in Christ the same way we treat our fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters. And so if you're wondering, how do I relate to this person that I have feelings for? Treat them like you would your mom, your brother, your sister, or your father. And another practical little thing for you to hold on to is, we say, show attention to everyone and intention to no one. And so the call on your life is to love everyone, to serve everyone, to breathe life and to give life in your words to everyone that you're around. And that shouldn't, your feelings for one should never outweigh the call on your life for the way you're supposed to relate to everyone. We would just say your feelings for one person should never outweigh the call in your life for everyone.
Mm, awesome.
Anything you'd add? The question to ask yourself is, am I willing to pursue friendship with this person for the purpose of growing up and maturing in Christ?
Awesome. Awesome. And hey, we're moving quick, and it sounds like, hey, we're just kind of pelting you guys with information, but we guys want you to hear a heart. Like, we want nothing more for you than to experience joy. And when we follow God's commands, man, it brings blessing in life. And we want you guys to hear that from us, because I didn't do it well. Like, I was a punk and I was immature and I thought I could do whatever I wanted and I was hurt by it. And I want you guys to understand, like, hey, it cost you something. And so right now, when you are at the age to understand what direction you're going, we want to help you get there. And so that's our place of coming from a place of love, that you guys can get there one day and have an amazing marriage. So number 7, you have a plan. And so when I was asking Kirby's dad if I could go on a date with Kirby, he looked at me with a smirk and he goes, hey, what's your plan? And I was like, hey, we're going to go to Chili's. It's going to be awesome. We're going to get the pan-seared queso. It's going to be great. Endless breadsticks at Olive Garden. I mean, it's amazing. These are great plans. No, we didn't actually do that. Where did we go anyways?
You don't remember?
No, I do remember. Anyways, so the reason he goes, hey, what's your plan? And he was asking that question is because he wanted to pull apart my intention. And like, hey, what's your intention with dating? That he wanted me to set like clear expectations, like emotionally, physically, spiritually, and have a plan. And that was really important, that if we don't have a plan, then we don't know where we're going. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. And so what unrestrained means, that means out of control. That when you don't have a plan, you don't have a vision, that things just get chaotic. They go out of control. And when you have a plan, there's unity, there's peace, there's clarity. That I would tell her on our dates, that I would just say, hey, Kirby, like, here's what we're going to do. Here's where we're going to go. Hey, here's where the direction we're going. We're going to pursue this thing towards marriage until, you know, we feel like we need to go our separate ways. And she always knew, because I was communicating, here's my plan and here's where we're going. And so the helpful thing I would tell you guys is something we always say is that there's a difference between processing and there's a difference between pursuing. That you're either processing a relationship or you're pursuing a relationship. You can't do both. So what I see a lot of times in high schoolers is that they'll figure out if they want to date someone by dating them. And that's just terrible because you're just like, oh, I'm going to be friends, but I'm going to be in a relationship. And it's complicated, but, you know, we're talking.
We kind of have a thing.
We kind of have a thing. And I don't understand the thing. Like, a thing is the wart you have on your foot. Like, you don't have a thing. Just call it what it is. You're either dating or you're not. And so what we say is that you're either processing or you're pursuing. You cannot do both because it gets chaotic. And so anything you would add on that?
Nope.
Awesome. Okay, question we'd ask to ask yourself that would be helpful is that have you made a decision in present moments of strength to help you in future moments of weakness? And so what I mean by that, have you made decisions today while you're in this room to understand, hey, here's my plan. My plan is this. Because if you don't make a decision in strength, then you're going to compromise in weakness when love gets out of control and you like think you meet the woman or boy of your dreams, and then you just all hits the fan.
He's the boy of my dreams.
Okay, anyways. Okay, moving on. Keep going.
Okay, number 8. You know you're ready to date if you are able to follow facts instead of feelings. So who's seen Frozen? Who has seen Frozen 2?
If you haven't seen Frozen, you need to leave.
I haven't seen Frozen 2, but my dad...
That's your first order of business. Don't even list these 10 points.
My dad told me I reminded him a lot of Princess Anna from Frozen. And for one reason, not because she was adventurous and sacrificial and a leader or whatever, loved her sister, but because she falls in love with that prince in 2 minutes in the movie. My dad was rebuking me because I am a person that can get tunnel vision. And when I like something, I'm like, this is it. I've been waiting my whole life. I don't need to process anymore. I'm ready. So when I started to like Austin, he shared this verse with me, which was very helpful. It's Proverbs 19:2, which says, desire without knowledge is not good. He who makes haste with his feet misses his way. And so this encouragement really enabled me and encouraged me to take a step back, to learn more about Austin, to observe his character, to watch his walk with the Lord, to watch the way he treated others before I just got swept up in my feelings or swept away by my emotion. So the principle there is to know who the person is, to look at the facts and not look at your feelings, because our feelings, like we're going to talk about in a second, our heart is one of the most deceitful things in our body, and it's just not always a great director. And so if you are able and willing to follow facts instead of feelings, then you are ready to date. Anything you would add?
Yeah, awesome. So I would say, hey, personally, I am most vulnerable to sin or compromise when I really want something. When I really want something, I'm most vulnerable to say, hey, I'll do whatever I can to get that thing. And the reason I say that is because, hey, that's what love really does. When we see something we like or see someone we like, love really makes us stupid in a lot of ways. It like blinds our vision and makes us like forget everything that we ever knew. We just want to do everything we can to date this person. And I see it all the time. And we're like, people are like, hey, don't date that person. They're a convicted felon. You're like, whatever, I love them. Or like, but their name's El Chapo. Don't date them. And they're like, no, it's fine. It's fine. And that I'm just saying is like love makes us do some crazy things. And we trust our feelings, which our feelings always sway us, instead of the facts of who that person is. And so that's what we want you guys to remember. She mentioned Jeremiah 17:9, which just says the heart is deceitful above all things. All things meaning everything, that your heart, the heart beating inside of you, it's deceitful, and that you cannot trust your emotions or your feelings. You need to trust the facts of God's word and the facts of how that person lives.
So ask yourself, are you seeking wisdom or are you succumbing to your feelings? And the numbers are a little off, but we're on 9. So you want to take it?
Yes. Okay, here we go. Almost done. And then we're going to jump into some questions. We got a few minutes. Okay. So you're focused on becoming the right person. And this one is what I'm passionate about because there's this like every Disney movie in America portrays this like idea that you got to find your prince charming or you got to find the princess. You got to capture Princess Fiona and you got to go live happily ever after, right? That's the idea, is that go live happily ever after. They never show what happens. And so they'll show like, hey, the purpose of your life is really just to find that Mr. or Mrs. perfect right person. And they don't show really what you need to work on to get there. That you can almost become so focused on finding the right person that you're not focused on yourself becoming the right person, if that makes sense. And so what we always say is that you need to understand that you are the type of person the person you're looking for is looking for.
So said another way, you're ready to date when you are the type of person the person you're looking for is looking for. Yeah. So girls out there with your top 10, here's what he needs to be. Ask yourself, are you the feminine version of those things?
Are you the feminine version of and so what you'd say is just like you are who you attract. And so if you're looking for, you know, someone who's pursuing godliness and who is someone who is hardworking or who's focusing on themselves, then that's the person you're gonna attract. And so, like, focus on doing that first, and you'll never have more time than now. And so, let's ask the question, and then we'll move on, is what are the qualities you dream about in your future spouse? Kind of what Kirby said. Think about those qualities, and then ask yourself, hey, am I those things? Am I those things? And if you're looking for a godly spouse, you understand that they're not going to be a part of the crowd. They're going to be a part of the minority. And so you're going to have to learn, hey, I'm going to be comfortable in doing things that are unpopular, and focusing on myself right now. Awesome. Last point.
Did you hear the verse?
Oh, 1 Timothy 4:12. Here we go. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. And so that is a template for how you should live, is that you should set an example in speech and conduct and faith and love and purity. A thing that I always say is, if you're trying to think about someone you want to date, how do they treat people that can do nothing for them? Because that's a huge indicator of their emotional and spiritual immaturity. Like, how are they doing? How do they treat people that can do nothing for them?
Okay, last one. You are ready to date when you are absolutely confident of the other person's commitment to Christ. And you are not ready to date if the other person is not as or more committed to Christ than you. And so, we said this earlier, but we just want to say it again. You cannot understand the importance of the decision of who you will marry. It is the second most important decision you will ever make after choosing to follow Christ or not. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness, and what fellowship has light with darkness?" And so this is just as important as all the other points, but you are not ready to date if you are not absolutely convinced the person you're marrying or dating or pursuing for marriage is going to lead you and foster a relationship that not just honors the other person, but glorifies God and builds his kingdom, which is the purpose of marriage. And since Austin and I have been married, the times I've been the most thankful for him in my life are the moments where he's led by the Spirit, where he speaks truth into me, when he forgives me for overreacting or, you know, doing the dumb things that I do. Austin's word is all I have. His commitment to Christ is the only guarantee I have that our marriage isn't going to end before death. When we made our marriage vows, there was no buts. We didn't say, for better or for worse. Hashtag no buts. That's not something we say often, but marriage vows don't have any buts. We didn't say, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, unless you cheat on me. For better or for worse, in sickness and in health, unless you get addicted to something, unless you lose your job, unless you get fat. We didn't say any of that. Marriage.
Hashtag dad bod. Yeah, I guess.
But Austin and I don't live in fear of the other person wondering, because we have committed our lives to Christ, and we are putting faith in the fact that we're going to remain committed to Christ in our own lives.
Yep. Awesome.
So we want you guys to ask yourself, is this other person radically committed to their faith?
Yeah, and so that's the 10 points, and I know that was fast or almost seemed strong, but we want you guys to understand that there is clarity in this relationship, and that it's so important to get this right. Like, you cannot get this wrong, and then if you're sitting in that room and you're like, hey, I'm dating, and this is not a part of our relationship, then I feel like you have a really clear call in your life, is that you have never had more time than you do right now. And so spend this time becoming the person you want. How do we say it?
Spend the time becoming the person you were looking for.
Awesome. It's a pithy way to say it. Okay, we got 9 minutes, so sit tight. We're not moving. We got 9 minutes, and so Kevin, do we have questions at all coming in?
Yeah, we have a lot of questions. So really good
questions.
Okay,
we're gonna answer
a few questions. I'm going to try to go in order of popularity, but and also kind of combine some into the same question. But the most popular one, which I don't know you have to spend a lot of time on this, but is it okay for our leaders to date? It was the most popular question.
Is it okay for our leaders today? Wow.
Yes. It should be a priority of yours to help them organize that.
You need to help them. You guys are matchmakers that you need to help them find a spouse.
Okay. All right.
That's
great
amazing.
Question. All right.
I'm not going to spend time on that. You can text it in.
Next one is...
Yeah, here we go.
And if I'm understanding this correctly, it says, what if you're not a virgin? So I'm assuming the question is there grace there? How does that, what does that look like?
Yeah.
Hey, God is clear in his word that he seeks to restore what sin breaks. And I love the verse out of Corinthians. It says he made him who knew no sin to become our fill in the blank, to become our past impurity, to become our past brokenness, to become our guilt, to become all these things, you name it. And that's what Jesus did. He became those things for you. And so that's what we want you to hear clearly from our words, is that Jesus has provided a solution to your brokenness, and that you don't have to rest in guilt and shame, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so hear that clearly from this message. Anything you would add to that? Awesome. Next question.
Hey, great. If you're not ready for marriage, should you not date?
If you're not ready for marriage, you can answer that one.
What do y'all think? I would say if the purpose of dating is for marital discernment, it gets really hard to date well, to honor each other emotionally, physically, and spiritually. If you cannot get married there's no scripture that says how much time you need. But realistically, in middle school and high school, you're not looking to date in the next 6 months or a year. And so we would say, wait for a season, postpone dating to pursue friendships, to pursue maturity until you're in a place where you could get married realistically in a time that sets you up to honor each other physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Yeah, that was the best thing we did. We were friends for a year, and I liked her so much. I was always like, kind of one eye this way, one eye that way. I kept running into her everywhere because I was stalking her. But it was weird. But it was crazy. I was like, I would volunteer at like women's conferences. I'm like, this is crazy. How'd you get here? This is so weird. It's so random that I see you here. But we were such good friends, and we maintained clearly friendship. That a lot of you are like, hey, friends, but we can still text each other exclusively. There is a difference between processing and pursuing, and you can't do both. You can't. I see this so many times, is that people are like, we're still friends. Our parents are like, hey, you're still friends, but we're treating each other like we're not. And dating isn't just a label. Dating is the intention. Like, you're pursuing somebody, and so you can't do both. Awesome. Next question.
Okay. How old is too young to date?
How old is too young to date?
Yeah. That's the way it's worded.
That's similar to the question we just answered, I think.
How old is too young to date?
Harvey's too young.
Did Harris III write that question? Seems like an illusion. Right. Sorry, that wasn't funny.
I was the same age when I was your age. Is premarital hand-holding okay?
Premarital hand-holding. Hey. Should I share what I did when I first held your hand?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, so when I first held Kirby's hand, you guys are going to hear this. It's a funny story, so you can take notes. Anyways, so, and some of you guys are now just taking notes, which is sad. But so we were walking across the street, and we had dated we've been on a couple dates. And I literally reached across, and I said, hey, can you hold this for a second? Like, I was going to give her something. And then I proceeded to grab her hand and walked across the street.
We didn't waffle the first time. We did this.
We didn't waffle. It was this. Pancake over waffle. Anyways, there you go. Free tip for later.
Hey, but we would say to take that question seriously, not hand-holding, but it's kind of the same question, what is the line? And we would say, if you're asking how far can we go without going too far, you're asking the wrong question. The question should be, what can we do together that's going to glorify the Lord? And that should, how you spend time together, where you go together, what you talk about together, that's the question that you run that through the lens of constantly. Is this glorifying to the Lord? Am I honoring Austin? Am I setting us up to be a light to others and to honor the Lord?
I'm going to kind of combine some questions here, but the idea is if I have been in a destructive relationship in the past or been abused, how do I let go of that and forgive?
Forgive, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I would say if that's part of your story, bring people into that. Don't try to recover or heal from that alone. That's why we are so such big fans of community and small groups around here, because we don't believe you should ever try to deal with anything alone. And so talk to one of the leaders here, talk to some of the girls or guys that are in your group. But there's absolutely healing and redemption for anything in your story in Christ.
Yeah, I would just say, hey, guys, burdens are always meant to be shared. Burdens are always meant to be shared. Galatians 6:1 just talks about how we should all carry each other's burdens. And so understand that you cannot heal without the help of another person. And so you guys need a community of people to help heal in that moment. And so that's why we, as Kirby said, emphasize the importance of unity in as far as community.
Okay. 1 minute. So one more question.
One more question. Okay. And we'll get out of here.
Should you tell someone you love them before you're engaged? What did y'all do?
Austin told me he loved me when he proposed.
I told her, yes, I did, because that is that's what I did, right? The L word is a strong word when you say you love somebody. That is a very strong word. Song of Solomon talks about, hey, we should not awaken love before it's time. And I knew that I when I said that word, I was just opening up our hearts towards a new, to kind of just be united. And so I knew I wanted to save that for the person that I would marry, and I never regretted it. I've never regretted it since. And so if you're texting your friend or, you know, your dating relationship, you're saying, I love you, we love you, I love you, hard eyes, it's an element of awakening love before it's time.
And I would ask yourself, are they communicating a feeling or like a verbal biblical definition of love? Because there's a very big difference between the feeling of love and the biblical commitment of love, which God demonstrated his love for us in laying down his life. Scripture calls husbands to lay down their lives as Christ did for the church. And so probably if someone in your age range is telling you that they love you, they're communicating, hey, this is a really strong feeling I feel right now, but they're not communicating the importance of love, 1 Corinthians 13 love. And so that's just something to keep in mind.
Awesome. All right, we're going to pray, and then we're going to jump out of here. Bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you that you have clearly outlined in your word what should inform our decisions. I pray that anyone struggling with just the confusion of dating and how it can easily be entangled by the culture and the lies that we're being fed, I pray they'd walk out of here with encouragement and confidence to go not look for the right person, but be the right person and be the person that you've called them to be, that they would set an example in speech, faith, love, conduct, and purity, and that they would mark themselves with the biblical virtue of faithfulness. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all are dismissed.